Our text is this verse. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year unto the end of the year. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year unto the ending of the year. The Jews, and listen carefully to the introduction, the Israelites were about to go into the Promised Land. Don't forget this year, 1451 B.C. One of the most eventful and contrasting years of all of the life of the Israelites. Moses speaks to them at the first of the year. He knows what they will face during the year. He said, for example, he knows, in fact, and God knows as he inspires Moses, that in 1451 B.C., the Jews begin it in the wilderness in wandering and suffering. But in this year, they will cross the Jordan River. They will fight the battle and win the Battle of Jericho. In 1451 B.C., in this same year, they will lose the Battle of Ai because of the sin, the secret sin of Achan. In 1451 B.C., they will conquer the land of Canaan. From the wilderness, cross the Red Sea, victory at Jericho, defeat at Ai, conquering the land, all in one year. Now Moses is saying, folks, don't forget this. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, the eyes of the Lord are always upon you. You know, that's a truth that's so basic that we overlook it often. Let me give you a story. Max Helton is with us working in our college, and Max is one of the finest fellows you'll ever want to meet in your life. Hard worker, good Christian, man of character, honor. Max Helton was a missionary in Hawaii. He came home on furlough, and he came to me to counsel with me, and he said, Dr. Hiles, for some reason or other, I feel unrest about where I'm serving. I feel that God has something else for me. And I said, Max, I believe God wants you to come to Hiles Anderson College and be a part of our team here. He prayed about it. Here's what he said. He said, I was praying about it, and while I was praying about it, and don't miss this story, he said, I did some checking on you. He said, I watched you. I watched you while you preached. I watched you at the table when I'd eat with you. I watched you around other preachers to see what you said and how you talked. Then he said, I went to the Bill Rice Ranch one summer, and somebody said, that fella is David Hiles. He said, is that Dr. Jack Hiles' son? And they said, yes, it is. And he said, David didn't know it, but I was watching his every move. And he said, I did not see one single slip-up. Everything he did would bring honor to the Hiles name. Then he said, one week I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was at J.C. Penney's store with a friend. And a friend said, shh, hey, Max, you know who that is? That young lady right there? You know who that is? And Max said, who? He said, that's Becky Hiles. That's Dr. Jack Hiles' daughter. And Max said, I just decided I'd follow her. He almost didn't come. Well, that was a letdown, wasn't it? But I decided I'd follow her. And he said, I watched her as she shopped. I watched her as she talked to the clerks. I watched her as she walked down the street. I followed her and watched her for a while. And he said she was a picture of grace and charm and delight as I watched her. She didn't know she was being watched. David did not know he was being watched. But the truth is, do you know we do better when we're watched? Huh? How come you look at the rearview mirror so often when you drive? And how come when you see a little car with a little bubble on top, Why is it that your right leg changes from one pedal to another? Huh? You're being watched. The other day, Dr. Billings and I were driving down the expressway, and I said, "Watch it, Doc, there's a cop." You're crooked as he is, you ought to always be watching for cops. Now, why did I say that? I can be going 10 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone and still slow down when I see that bubble. Why? We do better when we're watched. The other day, one of our ladies, our fine ladies, she said, "Brother Hiles said, my son did something wrong, little bitty fella. He did something wrong. And I spanked him, punished him." I said, "Now, whose heart did you break?" He said, "Mommy's and Daddy's." "No, but she said somebody else." "Said who's somebody that's far greater than Mommy and Daddy?" He said, "I don't know." She said, "Somebody, you hurt somebody that's far greater. You hurt Mommy, you hurt Daddy, but you hurt somebody else far more than that. I'll give you a hint. It's somebody who hears all you say and sees all you do. Now who is it?" He said, "Brother Hiles." We do better when we're watched. I know a man in a distant state. I used to pastor him. He sells used cars. He keeps my book, Let's Hear Jack Hiles, on his desk all the time. My picture's there. I'm holding my Bible and doing about like that. And he said, time and time again, he's cut the price of a used car because my picture's there. I know a lady in this auditorium. Keeps my picture in her kitchen. She's on a diet. Ruins her appetite to look at it. She's on a diet. She said, I sit down at the table, and somebody says, "Pat, said you want some macaroni?" I look up at you, and you're going. She says, "No." "Want some pie?" "No, thank you. No pie." You know why? She's being watched. She's being watched. Now, Moses is saying, folks, you have a busy year. You'll have to start the year in the wilderness. The eyes of the Lord will be upon you from the beginning of the year unto the end of the year. Then he said, you're going to face the Jordan River. You're going to have to cross the Jordan River sometime this year. Don't forget, the eyes of the Lord will be upon you from the beginning of the year to the ending of the year. Then he says, you're going to have to fight the Battle of Jericho. You're going to have to conquer the city. You're going to have to see the city miraculously destroyed. You're going to live on the top of the mountain. But he said, don't forget, the eyes of the Lord will be upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. He said, you're going to have some sin this year in your life, that secret sin of stealing that coat and that gold from the city of Jericho. And defeat will come. But don't forget, while you sin, the eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And then he said, you'll conquer the land. You'll know what it is to languish in defeat and yet to rejoice in victory. You'll know what it is to scrape the bottom and yet overflow the top. You'll know what it is to go down the darkest and of midnight valleys, but you'll also know what it is to rise to the most beautiful sunlit peaks of all. But he said, don't forget, on the mountaintop, in the valley, in victory, in defeat, in good days, in bad days, in righteousness, and in sin. He said, don't forget, the eyes of the Lord will be upon you from the beginning of the year unto the end of the year. Again, I say it's a simple truth. We don't say much about it. Oh, we teach little boys and girls, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little mouths, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little ear, in some cases, big ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ear, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Simple truth, but it's true. God does hear everything you say. Be careful what you say. God does know what you hear. Be careful what you hear. God does see where you go. Be careful where you go. God does know what you do. Be careful what you do. And so Moses, the wisest man, the meekest man, and I think the greatest man who ever lived on earth apart from our Savior, gathered all the Israelites, and he said, this year, 1451 B.C., will be a year of victory and defeat, a year of mountains and valleys, a year of shadows and sunshine. But he said, don't forget, whether on the mountaintop or in the valley, every year, every day, every moment, every month, from the beginning of the year to the ending of the year, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Oh, I wish you'd get that. Kids, I wish you'd get that at school. The eyes of the Lord will be upon you at school when you take the test, when you whisper those words you shouldn't whisper, when you get the demerits, when you say what you shouldn't say. The eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Men at work, I wish you could get that idea. Everything you do at work, God will scrutinize it and see it. Every word you say, every curse word, every dirty joke you listen to, every suggestive thought you have, every dirty book you read, every lewd calendar you watch, every dirty story you read. You may stay up at night and watch some dirty, sexy movie on television. Your children might be asleep. Your wife might be asleep. But the eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year to the ending of the year. Boys and girls in the front, be still. Be still, son. Be still while I'm preaching. Everything you do in 1972, God's eyes will see. What a truth. We teach it to our boys and girls. Let every adult hear it. Let every teenager hear it. Let every aged saint hear it. Let us live in 1972 with a consciousness that what we do, what we hear, what we say, where we go, what we read, where our feet lead us, what our hands do, are under the constant inspection of Almighty God, who knows all we know, hears all we hear, sees all we see, sees all we do. The eyes of the Lord are upon thee from the beginning of the year to the ending of the year. There's one key word here, and that is always. Always. God doesn't make spot checks on His children. God always watches. While I'm preaching, for example, I look around in the entire building and I spot check the teenagers and see how they're listening. I look around again and then spot check the teenagers. No, but God always has His eyes on you. Always. God doesn't check occasionally to see how you're doing. God always watches. Now listen carefully and briefly. He will see you, Moses said, in the wilderness. They start the year off in the wilderness. And Moses says, God will see you in the wilderness in the new year. That's a wonderful thought. Did you know God will see you in the funeral home when you're sitting beside a loved one and your heart is crushed and you think the sun will never shine through the clouds again? The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Did you know when you are in the room and the nurse comes and your surgery is about an hour from now, and the nurse comes with that needle and she says, let me give you a shot or let me give you a pill. And you know what's going to happen. Suddenly your tongue will get thick and your eyes will get a little bleary. And soon you'll be rolled off to have surgery and you wonder if it's malignant. The eyes of the Lord will be upon you. And in the rest home, you dear ladies that walk to church with pain, and you men that walk to church, it's not easy for you to come. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. God knows every sacrifice. God knows every pain. God knows every heartache. God sees every tear. The eyes of the Lord will be upon you. By the way, you'll have some wilderness in 1972. You'll shed some tears. 1972 may hold for you the surgeon's knife. It may hold for you the bedside of a dying loved one. It may hold for you standing beside Babyland in the cemetery. It may hold for you standing beside the casket of your beloved father or mother, husband or wife, brother or sister. It may hold for you a dark wilderness, valley of shadow. It may hold, but blessed be God, the eyes of the Lord are always upon those that love Him. But there's another thing. They not only spent some time in the wilderness, but they spent some time in Canaan. In Canaan. The victories. Did you know God beholds you when you do things for Him as well as when you... In fact, in one place in the Bible, I forget what exactly it is. Zechariah, I think it is, chapter 4, verse 10. Says, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro to see the little things. The other day, I was in my office on Saturday morning. It was the day before we had the 12,000 in Sunday school. There was a knock on the door. I went to the door and one of our dear bus ladies was there. It was about 14 degrees outside. I think that's what they said, 14 degrees. It was cold. And that dear lady had been visiting all morning and was going visiting the rest of the afternoon. And she had some little problem. I shook her hand and her hand was cold. And her nose was running a little bit, and she was huffing and puffing, and her eyes were red, and she came by the office. And as she and another partner went out to spend the rest of the day in the cold day, going from house to house, trying to get some poor little bus kids to come on the buses, I thought, nobody will know she's out there, just maybe me and Brother Beebe and a few others. But she's out there, but the dear Lord knows. One of our staff ladies of the day told me a beautiful story, and this is worth coming to church to hear. One of our young ladies in our church, who's single, she came to one of our staff ladies, and this staff lady happens to work oh so hard and so long. It's not like the rest of them don't, but this lady had really been pushed lately. She's just been working day and night, and so this young unmarried lady in our church went to her and said, "You work so hard." She said, "Why don't you let me keep your house clean for you?" And that young lady, I happen to find out, goes to that home where they have a family, and it's a rather large house, and she washes and irons and does the dishes and sweeps and mops and vacuums, and nobody knows about it. And she doesn't know, this is the first time that she has found out that I know about it. And she intended for no one to find out about it, but the eyes of the Lord were upon her. Last night, Mother and I drove for teenage soul winning. Did you show up? Did you show up? I'm surprised. But I heard what you said about me. I wasn't there at first, and you thought I sent my daughter Becky in my place. The eyes of the Lord upon thee. But Mother and I went out, and we took two of our fine girls soul winning. And it was raining, and it was rather nippy. And it was Christmas night. And who would want to... go up on a Christmas night and knock on a door, somebody's house you don't know. And so these girls got in the back of the car, and we took off, went to the first place. They got out of the car, and in the rain, they stopped for a while. I said, "Mother, look, they're bowing their heads and praying for God to bless them on this visit, and they're in the rain praying." And these two girls, our teenage girl, went up, knocked on the door, and they came back. Nobody was at home. And they went to another place, and they prayed there in the rain. How would you like to do that? I mean, go up to a strange house on Christmas night, knock on a door, and say, "How do you do? I'm from First Baptist Church, and nice to know you." And so how would you like to do that? Well, our kids did last night, many of them. And they came back, and they said, "Well," one mother said, "you can't talk to my daughter. I'll answer all the questions. We've had enough visits from your church." But they kept on. And then Mother didn't hear them, but I heard them. They were back in the back seat having a prayer meeting while Mother and I were talking. They were praying, "Oh, God, help so-and-so to get saved tonight. Please help us." And 12 calls were made. And not many at home. The ones that were at home weren't too nice. They weren't glad to see somebody coming from the church on Christmas night. And finally, one of the girls said, "Wonder where everybody is. I thought folks stayed at home on Christmas night." I said, "No, they're all together in somebody's home. And the family's together somewhere." And one of them said, "I wish we could find out where that is so we could go win them all." We went to another place, and the night was getting almost over, and I said, "Dear Lord, you're going to have to give these girls at least one soul tonight. It wouldn't be fair. These girls got out here in the rain. They're praying before they go to every house. They've made 12 calls, and it just wouldn't be fair, Lord. It's not like you." And so they were gone a little while, and about 30 minutes they were gone. And finally the door opened in the car, and one of them said, "Praise the Lord. We won 7 in that house." Said all the kids, all the teenagers in one family were all together. 7 of them. We won 7 teenagers in one house. And I said, "Lord, it's a good thing you did that, or I'd have been awful hurt at you." And I thought, you know, By the way, that's what the hippies are looking for and don't know it. Yeah, I mean, these are pretty girls. These girls could have been out in a tavern last night. They could have been out at some teen canteen. They could have been at some high school dance. They could have been at some dirty Christmas party. They could have had a date with some lewd fella who could have taken his wicked hands and soiled their character by touching the sacred body of the girl. They could have sold themselves last night, but they didn't do it. They said, we'll go out and tell somebody about Jesus. And they found the joy of the Lord. Why? In obeying the command of God and living for Christ. The paper said nothing about it this morning, but the eyes of the Lord were upon them. And the dear Lord looked down from heaven and he saw those girls. And many others like them, as last night they served. There's a couple in our church entered the contest, the Hammond Baptist High School contest for tuition, free tuition, and they worked. The fellow holds down 2 and 3 jobs at a time so he can send his own kids to school. And they said, we're going to enter the contest so my husband can quit his jobs and just have one job. And that way we'll get to have more time as a family and so forth. And so they worked. They worked, they worked, they worked, they worked, and they won a top prize in the contest. A top prize. And now the husband doesn't have to work on but one job and they can have the tuition of the kid paid at school, free. I went to my office and she was waiting one day and she came in and she said, Pastor, and she began to weep a little bit. I think it was the lady. She said, Pastor, she said, we've been praying and God's burdened us to do something. She said, my husband's been holding down 2 and 3 jobs so our kids can go to school. We're going to win a top prize in the contest. But she said, Pastor, we've decided that we're going to take that prize and pay some poor kids' tuition to Hammond Baptist Schools. Now then, the fellow still works 3 jobs. And at night, late sometimes, when he's working and he's tired, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, and they watch. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody may this morning be in this service and you say, I work as hard as those people that get recognized on Sunday night. And the pastor never says a word about me. If I knew it, I sure would. I would. God knows I would. I wouldn't overlook anybody on purpose. But in case I forget you, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. They understand. They're upon you when you're in the wilderness. They're upon you when you're in Canaan. They're always there. Let me say this. When you're tempted this year to cheat on a test, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. When you're tempted in the holidays, you men out on the job, but the house won't know it, and your wife won't know it, you're tempted to take a little nip, and you wouldn't have done it any other time in the year. The eyes of God are upon you. Would God we had enough wisdom and sense to realize there's a holy and just and righteous and mighty God who sees all we do, who hears all we say, who knows every place we go. God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. Nothing is hidden from his eyes and no words are hushed from his ears. And no footprints are covered up and no fingerprints are disguised. God knows what you do. Hear me, college student away from home. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Hear me, serviceman in the service in some city where you've never been before, where no one knows you. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Hear me, young person on vacation. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Hear me, man at work. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Hear me, children. The eyes of God are upon you. I can walk down the halls of our educational building and some kids will be coming down the hall fighting and running and all of a sudden they'll see me. You know why? Pastor's looking. Pastor's looking. Some children can be misbehaving and mom and dad walk in and suddenly the mom's looking. Dad's looking. I was down shopping the other day, downtown Hammond. Saw one of our girls in a miniskirt. It's cold. She's all bundled up from here up. Naked from here down. That's dumb. Even if it's okay, it's dumb. I mean, all bundled up. What you ought to do is... And she saw me. And she realized that I saw her. And she pulled everything down. It almost tore off the top. She pulled. I'm sorry, I pulled so hard. And then she got behind somebody's next to her. She started. And I'm not very nice. I got around very friendly. I was in the talkingest mood. You know what she's worried about? Didn't want the preacher to see me. Didn't want the preacher to see me. I was out making a visit in Hessville about 10 years ago. One of our members came to the door. She didn't know it was me, and she was smoking a cigarette. And so she put it behind her. Thought she hit it. But the smoke was coming out of the top of her head. The eyes of the Lord. You know what's wrong with this old sin-cursed generation? This long-haired, stinking, beatnik generation? This generation that defies God and laughs at punishment and laughs at decency and laughs at honor? You know what's wrong with it? We have forgotten there's a holy and righteous and vengeful and wrathful God. Listen, I believe in love, but I believe that the God who loves good hates bad. The God who loves heaven hates hell. The God who loves righteousness hates sin. God is a vengeful God, a wrathful God, a furious God, and pours out His wrath upon those that reject the gospel and reject the word and truth of God. I get a little weary of this new called Jesus freak kind of religion. God's sick of it. He's sick of religion that says, I don't care what you say about my hair. I'll wear it like I want to wear it. He's sick of religion that says, I don't care what you say about being clean. I'll be dirty if I want to be dirty. He's sick of rebellion against authority. He's sick of refusal to accept His truth. There ought to be a riot. You talk about what America needs. America needs a revival of the preaching of the holiness, righteousness, and justice of an omnipotent God, whose eyes always behold His people. God sees you. God sees you. Nothing is hidden from God. That dark night on a lonely road, the eyes of God were there. That time you smoked just one piece of marijuana to see what it tasted like, the eyes of God were there. So may I say to you, on the week, last week of 1 year, the last Sunday morning of 1 year, pointing toward a new year, if I could give you one word of admonition as your pastor, I would say for 12 months, 52 weeks, 366 days, leap years next year, I'd say to you, live every moment of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month of the year. Realize the eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And by the way, so have they been in 1971. Young people, any decisions you ought to make this morning? Anything you've been doing that God has not been pleased when His eyes focused upon your activities? Ladies and gentlemen, shady business deals, critical natures, bitterness, gossip, unkindness, dishonesty, lewdness, unholy literature, what is it? What is it?